Let's all stand to our feet and sing to the Lord together.
Came to life. I believe there are wonders and signs, and you're still the same.
I believe every word that you said. I believe there are stars in your hands, that your goodness is good without end, and you'll never change.
Family, it is good to see you, good to be with you this Sunday before Thanksgiving. We're just going to continue singing just a few prayers. We're going to sing some prayers directly to God, so we ask you to join us.
Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty.
Singing one day in heaven, we are so conscious of the continuing work that the Lord is to do in our hearts to change us and make us more like Him. Let's sing this prayer together, that the Lord would do that work, that He would change us, bind our hearts to Him, that we may adore Him well.
Tune my heart to sing thy grace.
all names. It's something that we require the Holy Spirit's help to do, Lord. And so we thank you that you promise to make us new. Lord, if we are trusting in you, if we are in you, we are a new creation. And so, Lord, as we enter a season where we want to be focused on saying thank you to you, who is worthy of all praise, worthy of all thanks, God, this morning we thank you that you do what we are unable to do. You change us. You make us new. And so, God, this morning, as we look forward to one day singing these songs of praise, singing holy, holy, holy to your face, being reminded of your faithfulness and singing of your faithfulness to your face, of being able to praise you because we have adored you and we adore you above all else. God, we pray that you would continue to do that work of change in our hearts this morning. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for giving us songs to sing and family to sing with. We look forward to being changed as we hear your word this morning. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And kids, you are dismissed. You guys have a great morning. Love y'all. Good to see the kiddos. Hopefully they're all planning how they're going to save me leftovers after Thanksgiving. Good morning, family. I just want to shout out a quick reminder that we saw on the screen. If you happen to have your cell phone with you and you're like, man, maybe I didn't turn it off yet, this is a great time to go ahead and check your cell phone and make sure that it is silenced this morning. Love y'all. And I got to check mine too, so don't worry, I'm on it. A couple of quick announcements. This Wednesday, again, one of our most just precious family times, Thanksgiving Eve here in the sanctuary at 6. Please make it a priority if you can to come out, because it's going to be a great time of just sharing what the Lord has done this year in our family. You don't want to miss that. Parents, you have a cool opportunity December 6th to be able to go out, do some Christmas shopping, or go on date night without your kids. You get preschool through fifth grade. We're having Parents Day out. We're hosting it here. There are going to be some lovely people who are going to watch your children. You just do need to register this week online. This will be a great opportunity for you to use those tap stickers in front of your seats for you to be able to register online quickly. Sunday, December 7th, 6 p.m. here in this room, we are going to have the Christmas Carol sing again as it's family season. And it's time for us to get together and gather. Another sweet time. If you have not been and you're like, Carol's singing, that might not be great, you don't know what you're missing. You want to come out for that. It's a treat. And then this Saturday, December 13th, 10 to 12 in the Refinery, ladies, there's going to be a Christmas brunch that you also don't, like, these are four things that you just don't want to miss any of them. So ladies, you don't want to miss this. I see an exciting guest speaker on the list. Big named heavy hitter. You guys know who she is. And so it's going to be a treat. Again, register online so that we can plan for you, so that there will be food and there's not any extra, so that you can bring it to me. So make sure that you are signing up for that, ladies. Again, last gathering of the year. And so you want to be there. You don't want to miss it. Okay. $10 for registration. We have a special treat this morning. I believe Mr. Zach Royce is going to come up and share some things about our senior mission trip with some seniors. So give him a round of applause and let's hear what the Lord's doing.
Well, good morning. As Mr. Kenny, you know I work at the school. We call him Mr. Kenny at school. As Kenny shared with us, if you don't know, I'm Zach Royce. I'm the spiritual life director here at Perry Hall Christian. One of my responsibilities is to plan and then bring our entire senior class on a missions trip every year. It's one of the highlights of my year. It's also one of the things that causes me the most fear and trepidation during the year, bringing all these seniors to a different part of the country. This year, we went to Phoenix, Arizona, and we did a whole lot of projects when we were there, but we have two of our students here to share with you. They probably look pretty familiar. We have Brady Crack. I'm sure many of you know, remember him when he was whatever he was. So he's a senior this year. He came with us, and this is Josh Diaco. Josh has been planning. I don't know what your future plans are, but I'm just going to tell him. Josh has been practicing to one day become a pastor. He speaks in youth group sometimes. I don't know if that's really true, but he has spoken in youth group. so these two guys are going to share a little bit You should recognize them. They both have family members that are very involved here in our church. And so we asked them to come and share about some of their experiences on their trip this year.
Good morning, guys. So really, we're going to go through just a little brief overview of Holy Trip. I'm going to start by explaining Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday and what we did. And I'm going to pass the mic to Brady to tell you about the rest of the week. And so really, this was just a great experience overall. I mean, it was an experience where we got to bond in unity as a grade, all getting closer to each other. And not only that, but we got to do the Lord's work. We got to serve for many people. And so starting off with Sunday morning, we hopped onto the plane and we made our way to Arizona. It was a long flight, 4 hours and 30 minutes. So yeah, it was a fun time. But so we got to Arizona and we all piled into buses. We went and got in and out for lunch. And then we went on a little hike. And this was just like, it was a super cool hike. We got to see like this really cool view. And like, what was super cool about it is like, it was just a small view, but like it really set us up to like what we were going to see the rest of the week, and which Brady will explain more about that, because we got to go to the Grand Canyon and we got to go to Bell Rock. And like, really, these views were just incredible to see God's creation. And so, yeah, we'll talk about that later. And so after that, we really didn't do much because it was mostly a plane day. We got to our apartments. And one main thing we did when we got to our apartments every night was we did devotionals. So we would go into the place and we would start by talking about devotionals. We would kind of bond with each other. We would grow closer to God. And so that was a really great experience too. And so that ends for Sunday night. We went to bed. There was a pool there, so we swam. And we all got to grow closer with that too. And so now going into Monday. Monday morning we woke up. And we got to go to GCU. GCU is Grand Canyon University. And so we went there and we pretty much toured the campus. We got to see a good look of it. It was a really cool experience. I mean, the campus was really beautiful. And not only that, it was like warm out. Like right now it's like 30 degrees and it's cold and I actually hate it. But there it was nice and warm, 70 degrees. So yeah, we were living life there. And so the best part about GCU actually was we did tour the campus, but we also got to go and experience one of their chapels. And this chapel, it was like a worship chapel. So pretty much they sang for an hour straight. So, and it was really good. They had the main singer for Elevation Worship. I think his name is Mac Brock. Mac Brock. And so it was just like a super cool experience. I mean, there were so many people in there. GCU has like an attendance of 20,000 students. Not that all of them probably live on campus, but like there was a good amount of kids in there all just worshiping the Lord. So it was just like super cool to see God working in that room, like as we were able to worship and just take in the Lord's presence all together, not only as a grade, but with everyone else. And so continuing, after we looked around GCU, we went to CityServe and we helped to serve. So this was like an organization that partnered with GCU. And so for the rest of the day there, we kind of went and we sorted boxes and served in that way. And we were basically, what was cool about what we were sorting is we were sorting stuff that were going to go to people in need. So like this was anything from car parts to like outdoor things, indoor things, all this stuff were going to go to people who needed it. And so we were basically helping out serve in that way. And so then after that, we went to a diner for dinner and then went back to the place. We, of course, did devotionals and went over a brief, we went over the day. And then after that, we went to bed and we prepared for the next day, Tuesday. And so Tuesday was an action-packed day. We started by going to Callahan Care. And Callahan Care is a cool place because, like, there we sorted clothing for them. And what was cool about what they did is that they basically like laid out all this clothing, shoes, like jeans, like different pieces of clothing. And on it, they had price tags. But all the price tags, they said zero. Because what they would do is they would have like children come in that were in need. And they would basically be able to like pick out what they wanted. So it was like an experience where they got to like shop for their own clothing. But they didn't have to like spend money for it. And so that was just super cool to get to be a part of. We also got to like film TikTok videos for them for Callahan Care, and that was just a super fun bonding experience with the grade. Like we all got to make funny videos and like, yeah, it was super good. And then as we continued, We then went to back to GCU CityServe, and what we did there was super cool. We went and we basically unboxed, built, and then we got to test these e-bikes. And so they basically, we basically made a bunch of e-bikes. And what these e-bikes were for people who didn't have transportation. They didn't have the needs to like finance for the transportation. And so these e-bikes were super cool to set up because like these were going to such a great cost. And we got to make so many of them. Like I have a picture of like a row of e-bikes that we all just unboxed, made, and put together all together as a grade. And that was just a super good and fun experience to be a part of. After that, we went to dinner. We went to Tempe Marketplace. It's like an avenue. It's a really nice avenue. And there we got to just bond as a grade, get closer in unity, and really just have a good time. And so overall, these 3 days were just a super great part of the trip. Like I was talking about with unity, growing closer as a grade, but the most important part is that we were also serving God in the process. We were getting to show God's glory and really take in how amazing he is. And so I have a verse. 1 Peter 4, 9 through 11 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks of the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And so this verse is just a really great verse to like show that we're taking the strengths and we're taking the hope that we are given by God, and we're putting that back, and we're serving for God, and we're doing it, and we're doing it in the process. We're helping people while also giving all the glory to God. And so, yeah. I'm going to pass the mic to Brady now, and he'll tell you about Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah, so on Wednesday, we had the chance to go to St. Mary's Food Bank in Phoenix. There, we made food boxes for over 1,000 families in need around school districts in Phoenix. It was basically an assembly line where we all worked together. One people packed the beans, the rice, and then we assembled the boxes and then brought them to a warehouse where they'd be sorted and brought to cars. And through that, we all got to bond because, like I said, we were an assembly line, so we were all close together. We had singing, we had dancing. Mr. Royce was leading us in singing and dancing. He was throwing the rice up and down, dancing like crazy. And it was cool to see how the joy of God isn't just through kids, but also through adults. even though we didn't get to see the boxes directly served to families who needed it, our class knew that our work that we put in for God was to bring glory to him. It wasn't for us to feel good about ourselves or to give people what they need, just to show how God loves and cares for all of his people. And then after that, we went to lunch and then headed up to Sedona to climb Bell Rock. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Me and my classmates saw how good the creation of creation of God was, and how it can lead to, how it can lead people to him. Our class wondered how so many people saw the Grand Canyon, saw Bell Rock, saw Sedona, and didn't know that there was a good God who created it. And most of us had the chance to climb to the highest points of the rock, where we saw beautiful views. And as we were climbing, we had to help each other climb because it was a tough climb. Like, the rocks were slippery. It was steep. And we didn't just help people physically, but we also helped them when they were scared. This is how we can show God's Jesus' love for us, because he came and served. He met the physical needs of his people and the spiritual needs. The next morning, we drove up to the Grand Canyon where our tour guide through Joshua Expeditions, his name is Cortland, he explained how the Grand Canyon doesn't only show the wonders of God, but also the consequences of sin. Sin leads to a broken world and broken people. As Christians, we can kind of believe that the flood is what caused the Grand Canyon, and we don't really have 100% proof for it, but there is good evidence for that. And yeah, even though there is chaos created through sin, God can use his wonderful powers to make it beautiful, just like the Grand Canyon. It was split in half, a big ravine, and now people go tour it every day. The views were amazing, and our fellowship with one another and God's creation was even better. So through funny times in the pool, during long bus rides, climbing the tops of mountains, and humbling ourselves to serve God's people, our class connected with each other and built lifelong bonds. I am so glad that my classmates and I were able to take this trip, and thank you for the love and support from the church, school staff, students, and parents.
Thanks, guys. One of the things you didn't hear then is some organized time of going out and sharing the gospel with people. That wasn't an organized part of this trip. However, the class we went on with this year, in Bible class, one of the things we've been doing is discussing different worldviews and how we have people who live in our culture, live in our society, who have a different way of thinking about life, of thinking about the world, of thinking about morality. And we've been discussing a lot of those things. And quite a number of our students came up and talked to me at the end of the trip and in the aftermath afterwards and said, oh man, Mr. Royce, this person I sat down on the plane next to, they were this thing that we talked about, and I talked to them for an hour about their different beliefs, and I think I left them pondering some things, asked them some questions they didn't have a good answer for. Some people said, you heard Josh talk about the I can't remember the name of the place, their version of the Avenue. I had students come up and say, hey, we talked to some people here on the Avenue. We were walking out to get dinner, and there were some people standing there, and we struck up a conversation and just started talking to them and shared with them a little bit about the gospel. So even though we didn't have an organized part of that, this year these students that we had went out and found opportunities on their own to share with the people that we were with about their faith, about the gospel. So it was a great trip. I want to thank everyone in the church here for being such great supporters of our school and being able to stand behind us and support things like our senior mission trip. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you. We come today to the end of, over a year or so of our Ephesians study. Before I do that, and while I will apply this to that story, to the end of our message, I do want to make sure that if you did not get one of these little bags when you came in, we want to make sure when you leave here today that you do get one of these to take with you. Now, you can have more than one, but we don't want them just sitting in your house. And by the way, these were not gifts to you. To open up and eat the candy and write on this little sheet here. These are actually invite gifts for you to give to somebody to invite them to one of the services or all the services we will have at Christmas, whether it be the hymn sing or the Christmas Eve service. This is your opportunity in a very easy and non-confrontational way to be able to invite somebody to church for the series. Of course, they can come at any time, but as you can see, it's designed to look good and to be a part of our inviting one another. So I'm going to come back to that towards the end of the sermon, but I just want to make sure if you did not get one, take one when you leave, and if you want to give out more, then you are welcome to do that. I think the odds are in your favor. The more you give out, the more chance you have of someone visiting with us over the holidays. I think last year, let's just say round numbers, I was able to give out about 50 or 60 of them individually, and over 23 people came as a result of that invitation and joined us for one of the services. That's a pretty good percentage, right? Now, you can't just go, hey, here. You don't just do that. You have to have a conversation and just say to somebody, we would love you to come during the holidays. Folks, this is a time of the year when people are very, very open to joining us for church. So I pray that you'll take advantage of that. I'll say something more about that in a minute. Let's open our Bibles to our last message in Ephesians. Over the last year, we have done an overview of Ephesians, and I'm sorry that we have missed so much because of this fast pace I've taken, but here we are at the very end of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, really to the early church in that entire area. So if you have your Bibles or a way to follow along with us, I invite your attention to chapter 6. And while our focus this morning will be on verses 18, 19, and 20, I am going to put it in context and ask that you read with me or follow along as I read verses 10 to 20. So here we are, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And Paul finishes his letter with these final greetings, verse 21, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. That ends Paul's letter to the early church. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come for this season to the end of this wonderful letter, I pray that you will bring to mind so much of what we have learned already. I pray, Father, you will show us how it all works in relationship to prayer. I pray, Father, that as we leave after today this book behind, I pray that this church family will find many opportunities to come back here over and over. Father, there is a richness to this inspired letter. There is an amazing view of who you are and who we are. Father, there is a beautiful picture of your church, and we gather as that church here today. Father, we have learned recently that we refreshed our minds if we had forgotten or learned for the first time that we live in a war. It is a spiritual war. There is an enemy. There is a battle. We have your strength. We are soldiers. We've been given your armor. And Father, now we will learn that all of this works. This all comes together in this spirit of prayer, in this wonderful privilege of prayer. So, Father, guide our discussions today. The message, may it be pleasing to you. And, Father, I pray that you would wake us all up, that we would be alert, we would be ready to hear what you would have for us to learn. Be exalted, Lord, and be exalted through your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, how many of you know the name Ni Tao Sheng? So raise your hand if you know Ni Tao Sheng. This is for Jay France. Will give you $1,000 if anybody knows this. So we might know the name Ni Tao Sheng by the English name of Henry Lee. Now, how many know not a Henry Lee? Does that name ring a bell? So here, this will help for some of you that are students of the Bible and of the history of the church. How about if I said Ni Tao Sheng, English name Henry Lee, is better known by the name Watchman Nee? People heard the name Watchman Nee? So he lived in the 20th century. He died in, I think, 72. I don't endorse everything that Watchman Nee wrote or spoke, but so much of his ministry as a Chinese evangelist was wonderful, and so many of the things that he has said are still with us today. But here is why I bring up this. It was so popular in the 60s and 70s and 80s, the writings of Watchman Nee, Ni Tao Sheng. He wrote a commentary, and now you'll see the point of the story, on the book of Ephesians. And here's why I love the title of his commentary. Sit, walk, stand. Isn't that good? If we were to take all six of these chapters and really try to make it succinct, to sit, to walk, to stand. And since he's gone to be with the Lord and won't get mad at me, I'm adding to his commentary today, sit, walk, stand, kneel, go. Is this pretty easy to follow? Sit, stand, walk, stand, kneel, go. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, I know you were all waiting for it. Since it's the last one, I have lots to say. Chapter 1. Last sermon in Ephesians. Sit. Sit was Watchman Nee's summary of the first three chapters. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God, Ephesians 1, 3, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We have been seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Our relationship, who we are, our identity as individuals and as a church is that we are seated in Christ. Sit. That being seated in Christ, this describes who we are. It describes what we believe. It describes the doctrine, the position that each believer has before Christ. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. And we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, meaning you have not missed out on anything. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing that you need, every resource that we need. Now, the first chapter will tell us we've been blessed because we've been chosen, we've been predestined, we've been adopted, we've been loved, we've been forgiven, we've been redeemed, we are heirs, and we have been sealed. Chapter 2 speaks even more, as we discussed, and you'll remember this, that Bill went viral, Bill Heidel, with the idea of a chapter 2, we are dead. Remember that? That went viral. Bill, it's up to 17 million hits. But God, and he rescued us, and he made us alive, and he did it by grace through faith. He made us new people. He reconciled us. He gave us peace through his son. And he knocked down the walls of hostility. And all were made, given access to come to Christ. And this goes on, and we hear about the power, that this immeasurable power that we have in Christ. We are seated in Christ. Sit, walk. Flip over to chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you what? To walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So now that we recognize that in Christ we are seated in the heavenlies, we are in him. But because of all of these blessings, we have been called to match our lives, our behavior, our duties, our conduct, our way of living, described in one word, is walk. So we sit in Christ, and now we walk worthy of this position we have in Christ. And to walk worthy means that my life and your life would match the life that we say we have in Christ. Let me say that again. To walk worthy means it's not simply what you say. It's not simply the doctrines we adhere to or to the creeds we believe. It means that your life matches the words that you have professed. This is the idea that so many people have professed faith in Christ, but they do not possess Christ. Because the life has to match. The life doesn't make the first one true. In other words, a worthy walk doesn't make you all of a sudden in Christ. It's because you're in Christ, and out of gratitude, you now walk worthy. And Paul describes that walk not only as worthy, but as a walk in light, a walk in unity, a walk in wisdom, and a walk in life. That's how we walk. We're not just seated in heavenly places because we're in Christ. We live as those that have been redeemed and have been transformed by the grace of God. And then Paul, in the remaining parts of this chapters 4 through 6, as all part of the walk, he describes the practical relationships. And folks, if you've missed any of these, Paul is very practical. He has told us how to live with one another in all relationships. He has told us what it looks like to live in marriage as husband and wife. He has gotten practical what it means to live worthy, walk worthy as we raise our children. He has taught us how to walk worthy and to live godly lives as we work in the workplace and as we have our business to do in the communities we serve and live. All that is the walk. And then we get to chapter 6, verse 10 that I just read, and we've moved from sitting in this heavenly place in Christ and Christ in us to walking and living a life that is the worthy walk, that my life and your life matches what I say. And now we move to the third part of Watchman Nee's commentary, and he says the third part is to stand tall. To stand firm, because we wrestle against principalities and powers and darkness and the evil one. So we are called to stand. We have to be ready to stand. We have to be prepared to stand firm. It's not simply who we are in Christ, and it's not simply this is how we live in Christ, but you're in a war and you must stand. And so here he goes through the beautiful picture of this metaphor of an armor, and we stand in this armor. We stand and we have a belt of truth and this idea of a breastplate of righteousness and shoes of the gospel of peace and a shield of faith and a helmet of salvation. And as we learned last week, we have this offensive and defensive weapon called the sword of the Spirit. So God has given us everything in Christ, meaning all of the sword, all the armors is ours because we're in him. It was his first. And he has given it through his Spirit that we now have that armor. So we are standing. So pretty good. Watch my knee. Way to go. Sit, stand, walk, stand. But today we move to the final section of Paul's instruction. And I think we can add one more word since we're talking about the posture. And I think we can add kneel if you'll let me do that today. Verse 18, chapter 6 now. Chapter 6, verse 18, which we read earlier. And I want you to notice something that may seem minor, but here we have in 17 this final piece of take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then it says, there is a, I hope in your Bible, in my Bible, there is a comma. There is a comma after the Word of God. Comma. Praying at all times in the Spirit. And if you notice this next section, some people want to say that maybe praying is somehow a seventh piece of the armor. I don't think that's Paul's intention. I think Paul's intention is to tie everything he's just said about sitting, walking, but in particular, standing. I think he's tying that to prayer. So here we have Paul moving from this armor to moving to prayer. And he doesn't stop his thought. His thought is continuous. He's building on. It's almost as if to say, when you put on that belt of truth, pray that God will make you a person of truth. Pray that you will know his truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Father, may I live my life righteously. I pray that I will live a righteous life, a life that is representative of who you are, that people will see you through me. But more than that, Father, thank you for giving me your righteousness because I was unrighteous. And Father, thank you for the privilege of putting on shoes and going to preach the gospel of peace. Thank you for peace. And Father, thank you for this shield that I'm able to guard these darts that are lobbed at us every day through the internet and social media and in the work and in relationship. These darts of the enemy coming directly at us or directly from the enemy himself. Thank you for the shield. So you see how you're starting to pray through even the armor. And Father, thank you for this helmet of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and making me alive when I was dead. And then finally, oh, this is good. Thank you for giving me your sword so that I can prepare and be prepared to do battle with the enemy, and I can be prepared to use it with precision. Oh, Father, help me to know your word in such a way that no matter what attacks of the enemy, no matter what false doctrines I hear, no matter what deception comes at me, no matter what doubts are cast into my mind, no matter what accusations and temptations and despair comes, thank you, Lord, because I've got your Spirit and I can deal with that. You see how this all ties to prayer? This is a continuous thought. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at three little things here. The praying in the Spirit, praying for one another, and a prayer for boldness. And that'll take us up to 11:55. That was introduction and overview. We're having fun. I don't have time to do an entire message or messages on prayer. But I can tell you, it's not enough simply to know doctrine, but lack the prayer that comes with communion with our Heavenly Father. This engagement of being in the Spirit. So I want to make sure we get this in the Spirit, because some people, and it's fine that they just messed up, they've distorted the meaning of this phrase. There's other places, by the way, where we see this little phrase in the Spirit, which is your first point. In the Spirit, we see in Galatians 5:16, it says, walk in the Spirit. We see in Philippians 3:3, it says, worship in the Spirit. The 20th verse of Jude, I don't know whether I'm supposed to say Jude 1:20 or Jude 20, since there's only one chapter. Praying in the Holy Spirit. So there is a call, a command, a privilege, a joy to do all of these things in the Spirit. But here's where we've messed it up. People have tried to say that this particular verse, to pray in the Spirit, is a very occasional, a very, maybe a moment here and there where I'm actually speaking in tongues. To pray in the Spirit means to speak in tongues. And while I have no desire to make fun of people that see this differently than us, I want you to know this verse does not mean that. This verse is very clear when it starts off this incredible verse of prayer. It wants us to know that praying in the Spirit is to pray under the power of the Spirit, to be guided by the Spirit. All the way back a chapter ago, in chapter 5, if you recall, there is a sense that we're called to be filled with the Spirit, and we learned that that was not some second blessing that comes. We as believers have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, but to be filled with the Spirit is to be yielded to the Spirit, to submit to the will of the Spirit. And guess what the Spirit does almost predominantly his ministry for believers? He wants to make much of Jesus. And so to pray in the Spirit is simply saying, when you pray, may we be guided by the Spirit. May we be looking towards the Spirit. May we be filled. May we be empowered. May we pray in accord with the will of God. And you know, folks, sometimes we stumble here, don't we, when it comes to praying the will of God. How many of our prayers are what we want? And yet we fail sometimes to finish our prayers with, but Lord, your will be done. We may pray for somebody to be healed, and that's a wonderful thing. But maybe we may say, Lord, unless it brings you more glory to bring them home. We celebrated the life of Randy Denny today. Matt and Jen and their family are here. We celebrated Randy's life. He passed away a week ago today. And we had the service for him Friday. And you see this beautiful picture of the Lord's timing in his life. And I won't go through all the details, but we saw the Lord show up in a big way. But maybe there came a point where we stopped praying, maybe years ago, weeks ago, months ago, that Randy would be healed. And then we started to pray, Lord, would you do what's best for your glory? Lord, would you take him in your own time when it's most important for you? So there's an example of this in the Spirit. I want to pray in accord with the Lord's Spirit. I have my new dear friends over here. They're sitting over here. I won't embarrass them, Jada and Dart. They're new to our church, but really cool. They're newly married as of yesterday. Raise your hand. Hey, Chris, how many couples are here this Sunday after they got married on a Saturday? This is like some sort of higher standard. Forget honeymoons, we got to be in church. I love that. But one of the things we prayed about is they relate to each other in this submission and leadership, but in the covenants they make, the promises they make, is to not ask, how do I change my spouse? Lord, what are you doing here that is exposing us and we need to know your will? You see how you start to pray? You're praying in the Spirit. And by the way, I think I can make a good case that all authentic prayer is in the Spirit. Can I say that again? This isn't just like, boy, I was in the Spirit last night and I really did well. And I understand that. Or the Lord gave me this prayer. This was a prayer in the Spirit. All true, authentic prayer is in the Spirit. So please see that as a backdrop of what I'm getting ready to say next, because now we're going to look at this in that way, that to pray in the Spirit is to be empowered by the Spirit, is to be praying what he would pray, it's to be yearning for what he wants. Can I even do one better? Instead of just being me, let's do the scriptures. Romans 8. Romans 8. This is so powerful. Romans 8, 26. Romans 8, 26. I was listening to a sermon this week before I read this verse, and I kind of liked that the preacher, whenever he told people to look something up, he would say, it is page 842 in your pew Bible. That's how it used to be. Everybody here had the pew Bible right in front of them, and that way everybody was on the same page. Some of you are thinking, boy, that would be easier. I don't even know where Romans is. I love page 842, but there's probably 17 translations and different size Bibles in this room, so as you know, this is impossible. Here we are. You know, you must know the sword of the Spirit. You must know how to find it and to use it precisely. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Oh my goodness, is that good? Praying, and have you ever been, and certainly you've been like me, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the right answer is. I don't even know how to pray here, Lord. And we get this picture that the Spirit is working through us and in us and on behalf, interceding to the Father, because we don't always know what to pray. I have so many situations going on in my life right now, folks, this is the honest truth, that I do not know the answer of what to do. Does anybody else have things you don't know what to do? There's six hands. This is an amazing church. This is the most Spirit-filled church in the history of America. We've got so much work to do. Or maybe it's not Baptist-y to raise your hand and I forgive you. We don't always know what to do. Somebody said to me the other day, as a sign of him making sure I knew that he was a Christian, he says, Brother Dave, the Lord never gives us anything we can't handle. I said, what Bible is that in? Well, somewhere in there. It's nowhere in there. You know why? Because we can't handle anything without him. And so we pray and we yearn, and the Spirit helps us. And so here we are yearning, and the Spirit groaning, our groans, back to chapter 6 of Ephesians. So that's in the Spirit. So now let me switch to the second point, which is praying for one another, but I want to set that praying for one another up if I could, and I'd like you to notice, if you have not already, when we begin verse 18, you'll notice the word all four times. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. So before I drill down to the one that I'm paying attention to, which is praying for one another, I want you to see this is a prayer that is comprehensive. Just get that word. Prayer is comprehensive. We're praying in the Spirit. And then what does the prayer look like? Well, first of all, we pray all the time. All the time, in every season. Now, by the way, this does not mean you are on your knees. You close your eyes, especially you're driving. It means what it meant to Daniel. And Daniel, do you remember what he said? He prayed in the morning. He prayed at midday. He prayed in the evening and throughout the day. There's pictures of Jesus getting away to a quiet place. There's pictures of Jesus getting up early. There's pictures of people praying in all sorts of different ways. But at all times, you all know the name of John Wesley. John Wesley said he could not start his day without 2 hours of prayer. How would we do that today? 2 hours of prayer. The Arminian, John Wesley, these are not terms to argue Arminianism and Calvinism. I'm trying to just tell you these two were on different poles. Got to be careful everything you say around here. John Wesley, the Arminian, prayed 2 hours every morning. Then, of course, Martin Luther, he prayed three. Luther made the comment, I've got so much to do today, how could I start the day without 3 hours with the Lord? That does seem overwhelming to us today, and I don't know how that all relates, frankly. Maybe I'll confess, I personally struggle with that kind of prayer. It's not struggle that it's wrong. I struggle with those extended seasons of prayer. This is one of those moments where you start to question your pastoral choices. But I think if we're honest, it's even easier to read my Bible than it is to pray. If we're honest. And when I mean pray, pray, really pray. I get distracted in my prayers. I could be praying and all of a sudden I feel like I'm thinking of something else I have to do. Can I get more than six hands with this? We are making such progress, Pastor Chris. That was almost universal. One of the things I pray for is that I learn to pray. Would that be a good prayer? Lord, teach me to pray. So we pray all the times, everywhere, okay? That's in all ways, everywhere, at all times. But then he says there's a second all. Not only pray at all times in the spirits, with all prayer and supplication. And for today, I'm not going to make a big distinction between prayer and supplication. Maybe we're speaking general prayers. Maybe we're speaking specific petitions. But there's clearly just an emphasis on praying and supplication. And some of us have adopted, it's a well-worn acronym of ACTS, A-C-T-S. Remember that? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And that's a good pattern. It's not a rule. It's not the only way to pray. We would all agree that if we look at the word, the acronym ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, where do we spend the most time? Supplication, asking. And the Lord does say, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Bring everything to him in prayer. Wonderful. Just don't skip the adoration part. There's a place to be growing. Start with who is he? But so we have with all prayer. So this is comprehensive. This speaks, if you want to say it this way, pray at all times is that we pray with our whole lives. This may be defined as a life of prayer. And if you want to read about Brother Lawrence, The Practice of the Presence of Jesus, or the newer volume taken from that by Johnny Erickson Tada called The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. His was The Practice of the Presence of God. Her book is The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. And in it, they both talk about this life of prayer is very much the same as a life of the presence of God. He is everywhere all the time with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. We can always talk to him. As a matter of fact, John Piper thinks that while this is not the seventh piece of the armor, he does think because of the war we're in, we ought to look at this part of prayer to the armor of God as the walkie-talkie for war. The walkie-talkie. And not something that gets disconnected or you occasionally use it. But that the walkie-talkie is always there, this communion with God, this practicing the presence, knowing he's there, trusting he's there, believing the promise he's there, and knowing that there's a communion going on. So we pray a life of prayer, but a prayer of all prayer and supplication. So this speaks, if that's the life of prayer, this one speaks to the, let's say, the variety of prayer. So the first was the life of prayer. That's who we are. The prayer and supplications, all of them, that would speak to the diversity, the variety of prayer. So we pray in public. I hope you do. I hope you pray at your meals, not because it's obligatory, not because you've got something you learned from 40, 50 years ago where you say some quick prayer over your meal, but do you actually pray for your meal? In public, in a restaurant, for example. What a testimony. Countless times it has drawn people to my table, simply praying in public. How about praying here? We pray here every Sunday. The pastors or others lead us in prayer. Variety. You may pray in the morning. You may pray what is referred to arrow prayers. What are arrow prayers? At a moment of a thought. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, give me the words to say. Oh, Lord, forgive me. The variety of prayer, it could include prayers of confession, Psalm 51, Psalm 32. It could be these arrow prayers that it's interesting that when Nehemiah prayed before the king, if Nehemiah messed this up, if he even had a scowl on his face because of his concern for his people before he went back, the king could have his head if he lasted in this dismay or this depression for too long. And in the middle of that encounter with the king, and God opened up the resources for his people, it says that Nehemiah prayed, not out loud, didn't close his eyes, I don't think. His heart communed by walkie-talkie with his father. He asked for help. Often I have to say, in the middle of a conversation with a fellow believer or an atheist or an agnostic, in the middle of our conversation, I hear the presentation they're given, and in my heart, not out loud, in my heart, guess what I'm doing? Oh, Lord, give me help here. This person has just waxed on things that I haven't even heard before. Or they're stuck in a belief system, a worldview that is inaccurate. It's not biblical. Or, Father, there's a hard heart here. Would you open it up? You see how you could do that in your... This is the variety. It's confession. It's praise. It's thanksgiving. It's gratitude. It's intercessory, which we'll come to in just 1 minute. So, pray all the time. That's the lifestyle of prayer. Pray with all prayer and supplication. That would be the diversity or variety of prayer. Then it says, keep alert with all perseverance. Persevere in prayer. It's interesting. It says, keep alert with all perseverance. And I get the sense that Paul is saying to us, because we're in a spiritual battle, are we ready and awake? Now, if you want to see a picture, look at the three disciples with Jesus when in Mark 14, 38, and Jesus says to them, could you not even stay awake for a little bit? Stay awake and pray. Be alert. Be alert here in this passage because the enemy is after you. If you're not a believer here today, the enemy wants to prevent you. If you're a believer here, the enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you through your marriage. He'll find ways to destroy your marriage. He'll find ways to get at your kids. He'll find ways to get at your testimony. The battle is real, and so we have to be alert. But then this incredible perseverance. Paul is a perfect picture. He says in the beginning of this letter, in chapter 1, verse 16, he talks about praying for them without ceasing. He says in Romans 12, 12, constant in prayer. In Colossians 4, 2, he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Folks, we are missing out, I believe, on some of the blessings of prayer because we say a quick prayer and off we go. Lord, you didn't answer that one. Perseverance, and just for time, let me make it quick here. You may have heard in church history of a group of people called the Moravians. The Moravians ended up having property on the property of a man named Count Nicholas Zinzendorf. And before long, like typical church people, there was disunity on the property among all these people coming for unity to be together, but disunity came. He was frustrated, and he said, if you want to stay here, you're going to make a commitment to unity and a commitment to prayer. Now, get this. I'm not making this up. those people made a commitment, the Moravians. It's interesting, the place on his farm became known as Hernhut, H-E-R-R-N-U-T, Hernhut, which means the Lord's watch. These people ended up praying 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for at least the next 100 years. But now, I don't mean that everybody prayed that long. There was a system set up that they would be known for their prayer. But maybe you could look even back to Watchman Nee, who after becoming a Christian wanted to share his faith with all of his friends, and he made a list of 70 unsaved friends. And within a few short months, 69 came to know Christ. Wouldn't you love that kind of the work of the Spirit in your life? I keep a top 10 list, a list of those that I'm praying for. Thankfully, sometimes I get to check them off in the sense of, not that yay for me, but they now know Christ, or they've passed without Christ. And then we refill that list. We put more to pray for. But maybe my favorite example is George Mueller. You've heard me talk about George. George was a man of prayer. There's lots to talk about his caring for orphans. He cared for over 18,000 orphans, gave them homes. But he didn't believe in asking. George would pray for food, and he recounts the story of one morning praying for food, and he had the kids, and they all prayed. The stories vary, but at least there was prayer for food. The baker shows up that morning when there's no food. And the baker said, "The Lord impressed upon me to bring you fresh bread for the kids." They kept praying, and the milkman broke down. This is all true. The milkman broke down and knocked at the door. "Would you guys, could you use some milk?" The Lord just did that over and over. But in particular, George Mueller had five people he was praying for earnestly. The first one, 18 months, he gave his life to Christ. Christ saved him 18 months later. At the five-year mark, person number two came to Christ. At the 11, hear this, we're talking about perseverance. At the 11-year mark, number three came to know Jesus Christ. He died in year 40. George Mueller died. Number four and number five saved thereafter. At the end of the day, Mueller had prayed, I believe, total 40-some, 50-some years for these five. We pray with perseverance. The final all. This is point number two, praying for one another. He prayed with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, here's a couple easy ones for you. Are you praying for one? You do remember the sermon from a couple months ago when I said, "You are my people." That didn't have anything to do with authority or ownership. You are my family. Folks, look around. If you're here at Perry Hall, these are your people, and here we are called to pray for one another. This week, you had a chance to pray for the Denny family at the passing of Randy. You had a chance to pray for Jeanette when she had to get these stents put in and has to go back again this Tuesday and had some incredible challenges, nausea through the whole process. Were we praying for Jeanette? Ron Schlick had a shoulder surgery on Friday. He probably didn't tell a soul as I think about it. So maybe you weren't praying for him. Those of us who knew did pray. Are you praying now for our sister and brother, Jada and Dart, that God would work in their marriage for his glory? Are you praying for your pastors and your elders that we would live lives of godliness and be above reproach, that we would not give the enemy a foothold? Do you pray for the leaders? Do you pray for the long list of people that have been on the prayer list a long time? Or are we often, all of us, I think, into this, well, they're farther down the list. I'll just focus on the ones up here. Well, maybe better than that. Pray for all the saints comprehensively. Are you even praying for the saints? And maybe everybody here is, and not one of these words from me is meant to simply shame you or to be judging you if you're not. This is meant to be an encouragement. We are all the saints, and we're called to pray for one another. If there's nothing going on in my life that needs direct prayer, then pray that I would withstand the enemy. Pray that I would not be distracted from my care as a shepherd. Pray that I won't look at the wrong things or hurt my testimony that could affect this church. You see how it just goes on and on. Praying for one another. So yes, pray for your family. Pray for lost people. Absolutely. Pray for the government. We're called to do that too, our leaders. If we prayed for our leaders as much as we complained about our leaders, what would happen? How about this? If you've got somebody you just don't like, or you can't forgive, or one of those things, how about praying for them? Watch how that changes things. So you see this, praying for all the saints. I have to move on. So there we go. We've prayed in the Spirit. We've prayed for one another. And we put these four alls. It's all of life. It's a variety of prayer. It's a persevering prayer. And then finally, as you can see here, it's for all of us. Last thing, and we'll be done. Verse 19. Paul fits in. I really am trying my best, folks, to finish on time all these weeks. It seems to be I'm struggling. What would you have prayed? Now, keep in mind, Paul is persecuted. He's faced death many times. People want him dead. Some of his own friends have left him. He's often lonely. He's often physically, emotionally, spiritually attacked. And guess what? Before I say that, what would you be praying for? And keep in mind, he's in prison. What would your prayer be? Get me out of this place. Wouldn't make you a heathen. It's not a bad prayer request. Lord, would you bring me comfort? Just two names. Read Corey Ten Boom's story of being in prison. Read that. And read Richard Wurmbrand. And look what his experience is in prison. And by the way, Watchman Nee, 20 of his last years until he died, in prison. John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress, in prison. But Paul, folks, please hear this. This is better than anything I could ever say. Paul says, pray that I'll feel better. Pray that I'll get more food. Pray that it would ease up my tensions. Please stop this persecution. Please get me out of prison. No, because he prayed in the Spirit, and he gives one real big request. What's the request? Let's read. Verse 19, and also for me, in other words, in addition to the alls, at all times and all of life and in all ways and variety and persevering and for all the saints, he says, please will you pray for me? This is the Apostle Paul. Will you all pray for me? He prayed for everyone. Please pray for me. Why? There's that word, that. Words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Oh, folks, his heart's desire, his prayer in the middle of these difficult circumstances, his prayer was that he would open his mouth, that he would have the words to say. He would speak fearlessly, boldly, courageously. unashamedly, without compromise, the gospel. So let's just use that as an application, if I could. Perry Hall family, can we add to certainly a large list of prayer concerns, family, friends, and all that? Folks, would you all be willing with me to commit to add to your prayers that God would open up our mouths, that he would give us the words, and that we would boldly proclaim the good news of what Jesus Christ did for us? Can we add that? The words. Give me the words. Paul was no dummy. He could talk all day. He had a great command of the language. What's he mean, the words? He doesn't need to be smarter. He wants timely words, doesn't he? He wants the appropriate word for the moment. He wants to know the right way to share the words. He wants to know, in this instant, what, God, are your words? That's what he means. And then when you've given me the words, may I be bold. May I be bold at home, awkward or not, to keep sharing the truth of God's word with my kids. May I be bold in my neighborhood to let my family, my neighbors know that there's only hope in Jesus Christ. At the funeral for Randy Denny, the great prayer of Matt and Jen and their family was, yes, that we would celebrate Randy's life. But more than that, you know what was the heartache of the Denny family? That the lost people in that room would know Jesus, and right now they don't. They wanted that to be boldly spoken. And by God's grace, I believe we did that. On December 1st and December 8th, I have been asked to go speak at Shimonick Funeral Home for their annual memorial services, one on the 1st in Perry Hall, one on the 8th at Shimonick in Bel Air. They bring everybody out that has lost a loved one in the last year, and they bring them in for a time of loving them and giving them a little Christmas joy. And somehow they've invited me, along with a friend of theirs that is a Catholic priest. He will share, and I will share. Well, the best Christmas joy I can give them is to ask them if they know Jesus. And if they don't, there really is no Christmas joy. That's not unloving, folks. This is what we want to do. We want to be bold. Bill Clark would want me to tell you, this is what they do in Ocean City when they go to the boardwalk. They're bold. That's not each person's going to do that. But Lord, will you give me the words, and will you give me the boldness to talk to my family, to my neighbor, to the people I work with? Father, give me boldness. Listen, Perry Hall, these are the words we should be praying. This is a description of Spirit-filled prayer, verses 18, 19, and 20. And my prayer is for us, especially at Christmas. You're going to invite one person, or you're going to come and see us, and you need 20 of these. And you're going to be very prayerful of who you give them out to. You're going to be very prayerful that they'll be received well. And you're going to be very prayerful that God will have his way in the hearts of people that do not yet know him. What a way for Paul to finish, that we would see the value, the beauty of prayer, the power of prayer in all of life, in all of the battle, as we sit, as we walk, as we stand, as we kneel, and then based upon Paul's prayer for himself, that he would go boldly with words. Guess what that one is? Sit, walk, stand, kneel, go. Go. I pray that we'll all go from here with boldness and the words that we need. Father, oh, be glorified today, Lord, in the reading of your scriptures, the preaching of your word. Father, may we indeed be people that pray in the Spirit, in all of life in a variety of ways. Persevering, alert for all the saints. And Father, may that big prayer request at the end resonate in our minds and our hearts. May we not see this as the job of the Apostle Paul or of Pastor Dave or Eric Dressel or the missionaries in this church, but may we see this prayer as a prayer that can be spoken daily from the tongue and the heart of everyone in this room that knows Jesus Christ, that we would have the words and the boldness to tell of the glory of Jesus Christ and his saving work. Oh, be glorified to make us those kind of people, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.
John Nelson Hyde, a missionary to India in the 19th century, his nickname, John Nelson Hyde, his nickname was Praying Hyde. He was known because he was a prayer. Wouldn't it be cool if that's how we were known? Father, above all else, may we adore you. Above all else, may we make you known. Above all else, may we worship and praise you. Father, it's above all else is you. And out of gratitude for who you are, as we adore you, may we receive the boldness in the words to tell people how much we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a great week.